Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we've got a special President's Day edition, or George Washington's birthday. Which thing are you supposed to say now, President's Day or George Washington's birthday edition? It doesn't matter. We're not doing anything for it anyways, except acknowledging the greatness of George Washington. But we do have a fantastic show for you. Second hour, our good friend Gary Zimak will be here, and we're going to talk about what we talk about often right before Lent, and that is finding peace, bringing down your anxiety and worry during the Lenten period. This has become a very popular show that we do with Gary, and I hope you'll join us for that, especially if you are afflicted in any way with worry or anxiety, things that the Lord does not want for you, I feel fairly certain. This hour, we're going to talk about holiness in everyday life. So a very useful Monday today, and to help us do that, we have a very fine Opus Dei priest, Father Juan R. Valdez. Before he became a priest, he was a physician trained in internal medicine. In 1998, he obtained a doctorate in dogmatic theology from the University of Navarre. He's the author of some medical ethics and theology articles and a bunch of books, including, you'll notice in his career, a emphasis on John Henry Cardinal Newman, now St. John Newman, including a book called Holiness in a Secular Age, The Witness of Cardinal Newman, and a book which I do not know is, I have the Spanish translation here. I don't know if it's in Spanish, but in English, it's in English, but the title in English would be Cardinal Newman, a Saint for the World of Today. Father Juan Velez, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, it's great to be here and with Catholic Answers Live. I'm really happy to greet the ones who are on the riding in the expressway.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And listening to us and right. In other places, in Southern California.
Is Cardinal Newman a saint for the world of today in English or just Spanish?
Oh, so that one is in Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The English version is Holiness in a Secular Age.
Oh, I've got you. Okay, so it's the same book. All right, so I won't try to pronounce Spanish in the presence of a man born in Venezuela and raised in Cuba, but
you translated the title well, though. I also have a biography of Newman called Passion for Truth that I wrote earlier with Tan Books.
And he Newman is a man that modern people can learn holiness from, whether we are in the priestly state or the vowed life or as lay people.
Right. He's an attractive figure. He was a university teacher at Oxford. He was a convert from Anglicanism to the Catholic Church. People can relate to that. He was later founded a university. Well, in that sense, most people can't relate to that, but he was very much involved with university life and teaching. And then later on, he worked as a priest in Birmingham, England for many years.
And would you say, I mean, when we think of holiness nowadays, with I guess there's a sense that most of us were taught at some point in our life that the Second Vatican Council was a really kind of clarion call for holiness for the laity, not just for those who are in the vowed or religious or ordained state. Is Newman a help there?
Yes, yes, very much. For many centuries, as you know, so people listening have a sense, for many centuries, the church, there was a lot of emphasis on religious life, on the priesthood, emphasis on the institutional church, but gradually a number of saints, a number of theologians began to remind us of the importance of the laity in the church, and then in Vatican II, as you mentioned, put it straight in front of our eyes that yeah. the laity are are full members of the church, and that they are also called to holiness, that all the members of the church, all the faithful are called to live holy lives. And we can talk about holiness in a moment, if you what we mean by that.
Let me give out the number. 888-318-7884 is the number here. If you are perhaps struggling with holiness in your own life, or maybe this concept of holiness is foreign to you and you'd like to talk about it, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. As always, anyone's welcome to call, whether you are Catholic or not Catholic. We love to have a conversation with you at 888-31-TRUTH. So maybe you could say something about what holiness is, because it's very easy to say, well, God called us to holiness in everyday life, but it's really hard. What is that? I mean, what is holiness?
Yes. Well, it means trying to live as a son, a daughter of God, trying to be a good son, daughter of God, and even more, you could say, trying to be a very good son or daughter of God. And that's in the everyday activities of our studies, our work. And we do that through having a relationship with God, building that relationship through prayer. We can also talk a little bit more about that, having a spiritual routine throughout the day, practices of prayer, reading the scriptures, and then practicing the virtues in our everyday activities. When we do that, when we make an effort to do that, responding to invitations that God makes to us throughout the day, we can gradually become better sons and daughters of God, very good sons and daughters of God. And I would say that that's a good way of understanding holiness.
You write all this about John Henry Newman, who is a great guide in this, but you may not know this. I don't want to surprise you with this, but the founder of your order was a great teacher of this. As a matter of fact, he's in many ways thought of as the kind of modern teacher of holiness for everyone.
Right. Yes, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, when he started Opus Dei, the personal prelature of Opus Dei, he would teach people that everyone is called to live a holy life. Everyone is called to love God with and to aspire to love Him with all one's heart and mind, and he gave many practical aids in doing that. He reminded us that that we have to struggle every day in the small things of every day, that the things that we do throughout the day are important, beginning with the morning, offering our day to God in the morning, getting up on time, going to work, giving our best at work. At midday, stopping to say the Angelus, to think of the incarnation of our Lord. And he taught us many practical things to try to put into practice this calling of God to live holy lives. Yes, he is we could say he's a precursor of the teaching of Vatican II. No. Like St. John Henry Newman, who lived before him, they were precursors of this idea that holiness is not only for nuns and for priests and for bishops, but for all the baptized, including obviously the priests and the nuns.
Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. Excuse me for a minute, Father. I have to speak with someone. Assistant Producer Marie, getting up on time is a sign of holiness. I'm just sharing that with you. Yeah. She said okay. She doesn't like it when I do that. Father Juan.
But you know, yeah. Si, well, one thing that, speaking about that, one thing that St. Jose Maria would say, he would use the word heroic minutes.
Yeah.
He would say that we would have to have these heroic minutes throughout the day, beginning when we wake up, and or ending an activity, also leaving work to be on to get home, or to go on time to Mass if we go to Mass. So living heroic moments, so to speak, throughout the day.
Do you have maybe signs of or kind of techniques of holiness? I mean, you gave us very practical techniques from the founder of your Opus Dei order. But are there like maybe general things that you might want to say about if you're doing these things, these are part of the maybe steps or stages in the life of holiness each day?
Sure. Let me say two or three things. But I wasn't going to tell you, Si, but I will say. So Opus Dei, or remind you, is it's not a religious order.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So it's a personal prelature, so which is an institution made up of clergy and laity, but it's not like the religious orders, the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Benedictines. But anyhow, going to your question. Well, one of the things he told us is the importance of small things, of little things each day, and that God looks at everything that we do, and everything that we do is important because God takes it into account. And so that's the first thing. That's a general thing. Another general thing that he said is that it's in our work, because we spend most of the day working, where we have to try to connect with God, where we have to try to serve God, to love our neighbor, so that holiness takes place throughout the day. We try to practice the faith throughout the day. But as far as you said something concrete, well, what he encourages is to have what he called, and it wasn't something that he made up, but a series of practices that throughout the day we help us to turn to God and to remember what he expects of us. And those are practices of prayer. For example, reading the gospel 3 or 4 minutes a day and thinking about it for a moment. Or later at some point in the day, saying the rosary, as I'm sure you speak about here, praying the rosary and thinking of the life of Jesus. Or doing at nighttime before going to bed or earlier, a short examination of conscience. So he said he encouraged us to have throughout the day these moments where we pay more attention to our Lord, where we speak to him or to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then in addition to that, when we remember throughout the day to thank God for the sunshine or for the rain, or that we made it through the traffic, or that we saw a good friend for lunch, to thank God and to ask him for help. We get together with someone and we see they're struggling, and we say, Lord, we say quietly to ourselves, Lord, help this person, or help me to say something to this person that can help them. So going to God with short little prayers throughout the day, not only at those set times that I was talking about, but throughout the day.
We're talking about holiness every day, everyday holiness, with Father Juan R. Velez, who is a member of the personal prelature of Opus Dei, of Opus Dei priest, and a scholar of John Henry Newman, we cannot give enough thanks to God for John Henry Newman, elevated to the status of a saint of the church last year. If you have questions about everyday holiness, about your own attempts to practice holiness, or if you have more general questions about what are we Catholics talking about when we talk about these things, whoever you are, whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. And if it's easier to spell, then remember numbers 888-31-TRUTH.
Catholic Answers Live. Catholic Answers Live is sponsored by Daily Catholic Wisdom. Go to catholicwisdom.org and sign up for short daily reflections from brilliant, faithful Catholic minds. Literary giants, beloved saints, and relevant voices from today share insightful and inspiring snippets that you can read in less than a minute and reflect on throughout the day. Plus, enjoy exclusive discounts on popular Catholic books, talks, video content, and more. Join Catholics across the globe who start their day with Daily Catholic Wisdom. Sign up for free today at catholicwisdom.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Thank you so very much, first of all, for this ministry. You have no idea what a blessing you and EWTN have been in my life and for my life, and I just thank you for that.
Well, first off, I'd like to say God bless you for your ministry, and my wife prayed daily for EWTN. It's a game changer in our world.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday issue. Maybe you're getting to relax a little bit today because it is a federal holiday here in the U.S. Around the world, we are observing the birthday of George Washington, who was actually born on February 22nd. But we get it. We figure in America, if you're close, that counts as long as it's on a Monday. So we are celebrating that, which also means we may have some listeners who don't usually get a chance to listen. If you're new to Catholic Answers, welcome. We'd love having you here. You can always get us if you're busy during this time on a usual day. You can always get us via our podcast, and you can find out all about that at Catholic.com. What we do here simply is answer questions about the Catholic faith. And today we have a very fine priest, Father Juan R. Velez, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei, here to talk with us and answer questions about holiness, particularly about everyday holiness. 888-318-7884 is the number. We have a question from Martin off the air, and so I want to just share that. Martin called, but he wasn't able to stay on the line. Why is it that when we start living a holy life, people sometimes start to dislike us and our new lifestyle?
Well, it's perhaps it's because people are reminded of what their conscience is telling them, the voice of God in their hearts. And so it makes people uncomfortable. But also on the other hand, because they realize that we also object to some things that they might want to do or say. And so it becomes uncomfortable for them. I think those might be two reasons. But we have to try to help people by showing respect and showing understanding and realizing also that people receive different graces. So some people, many times we've received more graces than other people, and we have to try to understand them and help them to, if they want to grow or to grow gradually, to understand what we're all about.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH, the number. What do you say, Father, to the person who makes progress in the life of holiness and falls maybe into a sin or a pattern that they used to, or they just can't keep up the new good stuff? Like you said, you know, like rising, you know, and giving thanks to God and getting up on time and having that moment with the Lord to start the day. I've failed at that all week, let's say. And what do you say to that discouraged person?
Sure. So, one thing that St. Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, would say is that a saint is not someone who doesn't fall, but a saint is someone who falls but gets up right away and begins to fight. So that we have to fight. That's the one thing. And that a saint isn't someone that's never doesn't make mistakes. In fact, a saint can make many mistakes and offend God, but he's sorry for that, and he wants to fight. Maybe in a little while we can go to talk about confession, about the sacrament of the sacraments in general, and prayer. But we need that to be able to get up. And so that's a good question. We shouldn't get discouraged. All of us have falls often in the same area, hopefully in not grave faults, not mortal sins, but we have to, whether they're grave or venial, we have to fight. The word is to fight. And if we fight, if we get up, if we begin again, then we're on our path to the path that God wants us as saints.
Get up as quickly as you can, huh?
Right.
Don't dwell.
Like right away.
Yeah.
Saint Paul used to call, as you know, he used to call the Christians the saints. He would greet the saints of Rome, the saints of Corinth. So saints means, although we don't use that word right now usually, but it means the Christians, those who try to live the Christian faith. And we're full of weaknesses, full of limitations, and also we also have our strengths and our gifts from God.
We're talking with Father Juan Velez about holiness. If you have questions about holiness, particularly about attempting to live the life of holiness each day, 888-318-7884 is the number. Next up, Billy in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Billy, welcome. Your question for Father.
Yes, I am a Baptist, and I hear you all talk about praying the rosary, and what exactly is the rosary?
Good. Hello, Billy. Well, this is something that arose in the year probably 800 or the 700s, where some people wanted to who could not read the Psalms. Or who thought there were too many psalms that they couldn't pray the psalms they would reflect on the life of Jesus. So on the birth of Jesus, the first Annunciation, the birth of Jesus, the presentation in the temple, then they would reflect on the agony in the garden of Jesus, Jesus carrying the cross, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and they would do that adding an Our Father and the Hail Mary. The Hail Mary is composed of two parts. It's composed of the greeting of the Archangel Gabriel in the Gospel in St. Luke, and the greeting of Elizabeth, Blessed art thou among women, the greeting that Elizabeth gave to Mary at the Visitation, when Mary visited Elizabeth to help her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist. So the Christians put together these words of the Archangel Gabriel, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and the prayer of Elizabeth. They put it together in the Hail Mary, and so Christians would pray the Hail Mary and Our Father and 10 Hail Marys and think about one of the mysteries of the life of Jesus. Unfortunately, and Billy, sometimes people, and including myself, we might say these prayers and not think as much as we should, not reflect on the scriptures. But ideally, we should reflect on the scriptures. And basically, it's a way of praying to God. But Catholics don't think that that's the only way to pray to God. There's many, many, many ways of praying to God. And this is one of them. And we ask also Mary, the mother of Jesus, to help us. But maybe Si would like to add something, or you might want to ask something more, Billy, about a follow-up.
Sure, Billy. Any follow-up?
Yes. I hear you all speak of Hail Mary. We Baptists just don't understand why people would say a Hail Mary. I mean, we don't. Could you give me some thoughts on that?
If I may begin, Father, and if you could elaborate, but there is a strong Catholic kind of attachment to this idea of the communion of saints, and that we're all together, and that death doesn't separate us, so that those who have died are still part of the same communion that we're part of, and if they have made it to heaven, then they can pray for us, just like we can pray for one another. So Mary, of course, as the mother of Jesus, we hold her in highest esteem, other than the Lord himself. Did you want to add, Father?
Yes. Well, just following up on that, Billy, when it's very frequent that we say to a good friend of ours, hey, will you pray for me? I have an exam tomorrow, or I have surgery tomorrow, or will you pray for my mother? She's very sick. We say that to a friend. And then sometimes we say it to our mother or an uncle, an aunt. Well, we believe, Christians have believed from very, very early on, second, third century, that they could ask the mother of Jesus, now dead, and we believe in heaven with the saints, that they could ask the mother of Jesus to pray for them, just as we ask relatives and friends to pray for us. So that's a follow-up to what Cy was saying about the communion of the saints. But we don't think Mary is God. She's not divine. She's a human being. But we think she's the most perfect human being because God created her so that he, keeping in mind that he would take human nature in her womb, that he would become a man. So the Virgin Mary, unlike all the other human beings, was created by God without original sin, without the sin of Adam and Eve. But we don't think she's God, and we don't treat her as God, even though it might give the impression, but we really don't believe that she is anything like God. She's...
No, an infinite distance between her and God, just like us. Although, Billy, is that helpful? I really appreciate your call, and I want to give you a chance to...
Okay, you said something very interesting. That the dead have gone on. Okay, like my mother was Catholic. And so even though she's dead and gone on, and I know she's in heaven, can she pray for me?
Definitely, definitely, Billy. You should, especially our relatives who lived holy, good lives, holy lives, when they die, we can pray to them. The reason we pray to the saints more, to the people recognize the saints, is because they've lived particularly well-known Christian lives. But we can pray also to our dead relatives who we think have lived holy lives, and we hope that they're in heaven.
As you can probably hear the music, Billy, we have to go. Thank you very much for your call and for sharing your questions with us. You're welcome to call anytime. We do this every day. And you Catholics should be ashamed of yourself. Billy's Baptist, and he's got way better questions than you have today. So I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe a little challenge. We'll be right back with more Father Juan Velez.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. A brand new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. Check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we talk with Father Hugh Barber about whether the Catholic devotion to relics is weird and pagan. Check out this week's conversation and get access to past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
This is Dr. David Anders. Is God an angry God?
We answer questions like these every day on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I was just giving assistant producer Maria a hard time before. She usually gets in before me, and Father said, I have to clarify that. I can't leave the impression in the minds of listeners that Maria is getting in late every day. That is not the case. I apologize, Father. If we were closer, I would make it a confession, but since we have 3,000 miles between us, I can't do that. We're talking about everyday holiness, however, and Father Juan Velez is our guest. Father is a priest, an Opus Dei priest, and a scholar of John Henry Newman. And if you don't know about Opus Dei or John Henry Newman, find out about him. Lots of help there for your everyday holiness. If you have questions about everyday holiness, our number 888-318-7884. Quite a few people on the line, Father. But before I go back to them, you mentioned something to me at the break. I didn't, but I want you to follow up on it about I think it was Lumen Gentium, the document of the Second Vatican Council on holiness.
Sure. Well, right, Cy. One of the most important documents called the Constitution in Vatican II is Lumen Gentium, which means the light of the people. And in Lumen Gentium, chapter two is about the people of the church as the people of God. Chapter four is about the laity. And that's the first time in church history that there's an important document in the church dedicated, with a chapter dedicated to speak about the role of lay people in the church. And chapter five is about holiness, the holiness of all the members of the church, how they should aspire to holiness. Well, in chapter four, this chapter on the laity, it talks about that the laity, they aspire to holiness, chapter five, by engaging in temporal affairs, ordering them according to God's plan. So in people's work, in a business, at a hospital, at a school, they acting there, they can direct these activities to according to God's plan. And also it talks about they do this by sanctification of the world from within as a leaven, so that they contribute to sanctify, to make holy the world from within, in other words, living in society as the yeast that's necessary to produce bread. So the yeast is placed in the dough and it produces, it makes the bread grow, so that the Christians, especially the lay persons, they're called to order temporal affairs, order the world and sanctify the world with their work. And that's the way, that's what's very, it's very proper to the call to holiness of the lay people.
Let us head back to phones. Father Juan Velez, our guest, Philip, has been waiting for a while in Pennsylvania. I'm sorry I kept you waiting, Philip. He's listening to EWTN on channel 130 Sirius XM satellite radio. Your question for Father Philip.
Oh, thank you. Father, I'm a revert to the Catholic Church, and I've done a ton of reading, in no small part thanks to Catholic Answers. So on the intellectual side, I've gotten deeper in my faith. But in my heart and soul, one of the things that's been very enriching is Eucharistic adoration. I kind of stumbled into it, and now it's become a big part of my life. I'm blessed to work and live near an adoration chapel in my parish. My question for you is, how do I make the most out of those sessions, and what's sort of the best regimen for praying with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? I've tried to do Lectio Divina. I'm not sure if I do it right. I try to read some verses of sacred scripture, or I'll just sit and meditate on the Lord. And I just wanted some more specific guidance on how to really make the most out of it, because it's been so great as it is now. It's made some big changes in my life.
Philip, that's wonderful. It's powerful. Eucharistic adoration. I'm so happy you bring that up. Incidentally, I grew up in Philadelphia, or some years in Philadelphia. But without going from your question, it's terrific. The adoring Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is the center of Christian life. Jesus present, the risen Lord, although he's hidden from us, but present sacramentally. And I think what you're doing is good. But and just to add, the Psalms, reading one or two Psalms, or reading the Liturgy of the Hours can help us to praise, to thank our Lord. There's also it's also good before the Blessed Sacrament to talk to our Lord about our things, our worries, our concerns, and then to be quiet for a moment and let our Lord inspire us in our thoughts, our to move our heart, sometimes to jot things down. Or like you were saying, that the Lectio Divina, where we read a passage of the Gospel, we read it again more slowly, we try to imagine the setting, then we try to see what is our Lord saying to us there, and then we maybe center on one phrase in particular, and repeat that phrase or dwell on that phrase. Pope Benedict the 16th, as you might know, has written about that, and he has a book on prayer. I forget the title. A very good book on prayer. Those are some ideas. They're not new to you. I would say more than anything is that you're right on. And if people who go and pray before the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord inspires them, and you discover different ways of praying, and sometimes saying things out loud, or sometimes just listening, reading the Psalms.
Philip,
sorry, maybe you want to add something to Philip.
Oh no, you did just fine. I was want to see if I have nothing. You're way ahead of me, Father Philip. Is that all helpful to you?
It's very helpful, and I just wanted to make a plug to the listeners that if you're Catholic and you haven't tried adoration, then you're missing out on a lot, because, you know, not to diminish anything else in our life with the Church, but I haven't had such immediate impact in my heart and the feelings of calmness and just really feeling the consolation of the Lord. I'm telling you, everybody should try it at least once, and you'll see immediately the power of it.
Philip, thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Philip. I'm sorry. I join you in saying that, Philip. And I think when people go to adoration, a good thing to say is to say, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? Or in this passage of the Gospel, what do you want me today? Or in this situation at home, what should I do? And as you know, our Lord gives us inspirations. I wholeheartedly agree with what you said. And thank you for asking that.
Thank you again, Philip. Let us go to Maureen in Niles, Ohio. Maureen, thank you for your call. You are on with Father Juan Velez. Your question, please.
Good evening, Father. I just have a question. Here, I am Catholic, and God knows I haven't been to church, and I'm so sorry for that. But I do say the rosary every morning, and I stay sometimes being a little bit selfish for myself, but mostly for my family. But now, is that rosary heartfelt for that? Or would, hopefully, if it's not for me and my family, would the rosary go to somebody else that needs it more?
Marie, I think that, I think a good thing is to say to pray for your family, and then also to have part of the rosary, one of the decades praying for the whole church, praying for the Pope and the bishops, maybe another decade. I think it's a good practice to, in another decade, to pray for people who are suffering. Right now, to pray for the people in China going through this tremendous suffering. Our Lord hears our prayers, and you can offer them for your family, but it is good to pray for, and important to pray for all the church and for the world. Sometimes when we don't know what to pray, we can say, Virgin Mary, you know where these prayers are needed, so intercede before Jesus for the world, and the Virgin Mary will take care of that. But I think I encourage you to pray the rosary. If you can, it seems like you can't get out to Mass, you might consider asking a neighbor or a friend to occasionally take you if that's possible, and if not, to watch it on EWTN and to unite yourself to the sacrifice of the Mass from home.
What do you think, Maureen?
Father.
What?
Welcome, Maureen.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, Father, and God bless all of you.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen. Pray for us.
Always. Bye.
Father Juan Velez, our guest, a priest of the Prelature of Opus Dei, and he's here helping us with everyday holiness. If you have questions about holiness, if you are struggling in any area of your life and would like some help or advice, or if you have a more generally theological question about what exactly we are talking about when we're talking about holiness, actually any question on holiness is welcome, whether you're Catholic or not. Matter of fact, our best caller, not Catholic today. I'm not that I'm keeping track, okay? I'm not, well, one of our best callers. We'll put him in the top five. 888-318-7884. Or is the number 888-318-7884. Oh, I got to share something with you before we go, though. I was about to head out, but I'm supposed to tell you that we still have that free ebook available for you, God's Love for You, at shop.catholic.com. And by free, we mean free. We're not going to charge you for it. We want you to have it. It's called God's Love for You. It's available at shop.catholic.com. It's an ebook, however, so you just download it, and it's yours. Try it right now at shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live. We're waiting for your call.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Catholic Answers Live, Monday President's Day edition. Hello and welcome. If you haven't been able to join us before because maybe you're usually working or doing something else at this time and the holiday has you in a new spot, we're delighted to have you with us. You can find out all about us at Catholic.com. 888-318-7884 is our number here. If you'd like to call, we're talking about holiness with Father Juan Velez. I mentioned before that I might have to go to confession because I said something that's possibly not true about Marie, that she has trouble getting up in the morning and getting in here on time. But Father, you want to talk about confession in relation to the daily quest for holiness?
Sure, very, very briefly. That Newman, when he was an Anglican, because Anglicans do believe in confession, what are called High Anglican, the High Anglican Church. Well, Newman was once asked by someone to go to confession. It was the first time that he as a clergyman was going to hear confession, and he was nervous, and he prepared for it, to hear the person's confession. And it was a very touching, very important moment in his life. Years later, as a Catholic priest, he would hear lots of confessions in Birmingham, England, where he worked with immigrants, Irish immigrants who were coming to work in factories in England. And he spent lots of time, he and the priests of the oratory, hearing confessions of children and adults. Well, confession, one of the seven sacraments, is the ordinary means that God has established to forgive our sins, to strengthen us, to heal us of our defects. And so it's very important. And we've been talking about St. Jose Maria Escrivá. He also, in the 20th century, emphasized the importance of getting to confession on a regular basis, not every 6 months or every year or 2 years, but to get to into confession frequently, to ask forgiveness to God, and to draw strength to be able to live good, strong Christian lives.
You know, with Philip giving us that advertisement for, which I wholeheartedly endorse, life transforming, to spend time with Jesus in adoration. The full power of confession is really stunning, the way that Christ can transform your life by just coming and confessing.
And so spending time, a little bit of time before our Lord, we can say, Lord, show me where I need to, where I need to change, where I need to repent, and also I want to receive you a little bit more worthily. So I want to prepare to receive you. Yes.
Mark in Westminster, Colorado is next. He's listening on 1060 AM there in the Rocky Mountains. Mark, your question for Father Juan Velez.
Hi, I'm 24 years old, and I'm a Catholic, and I just have a question because maybe for the past 10 years I've been smoking cigarettes, and I made a deal with my father that if he starts to pray the rosary every day, then I'd quit smoking, and I feel really guilty because it's been really difficult for me to quit, and he's been praying every day. And so I'm just curious about the Catholic opinion on tobacco products in general, or maybe some advice on what I should do to help me quit smoking.
Father?
Good, Mark. It is hard. I know. The fifth commandment, as you know, teaches us not to kill, but it also means that we respect the health. We respect others, and we respect ourselves, our bodies. So we have to care for our bodies and ourselves. And cigarette smoking, at least if it's a large amount, does harm to the body. As a doctor, I saw that. I think we are obliged to respect our bodies and to cut back on the smoking, and ideally to stop smoking. One thing that can help you is if you offer trying to quit or decreasing the number to two or three, for example. If you do it for some special motive, well, you already were praying for your dad that he would have devotion to the Mother of God. Maybe praying for marriages in our society, or praying for young people that you know that are going through difficulties, praying for peace in the world. So to offering that sacrifice that you need to make for that spiritual intention, people find that helpful. But in any case, you can also make the effort, like I said, to cut back from, let's say, 10 to 5. And that might be a way to cutting back or to stopping altogether, Mark.
Yeah, I've been trying to cut back, and now I think I'll try to cut back completely. But yeah, I feel kind of guilty about it, but it's progressing. I'm getting better, I guess.
Good, Mark, and we're gonna start Lent, so that could be a great sacrifice to offer to our Lord. Ask Him for help every day, and I encourage you in this endeavor. All the best.
And Mark, don't feel too guilty. The rosaries aren't hurting your father at all. That's so. If you got him praying the rosary every day, yeah, you helped out on that end. I got to go, Mark. Let me go to Miguel right here in San Diego, watching on YouTube Live. Hello, Miguel. Your question for Father Juan Velez.
Hi, Father. I was wondering. I have a number of friends and associates who are secular people, or at least not practicing Catholics. And often in conversation with them, they use harsh words, or they you know, participate in calumny or detraction. And I want to keep talking to them because sometimes our conversations can be fruitful and can actually lead to me exposing truths of the faith to them. But I'm just wondering, in those situations, what obligation I have, and in general, if being on the receiving end of gossip is itself a sin.
Sure. Miguel, I used to go to San Diego, by the way, too. I used to live in Los Angeles for a while, and to drive to San Diego and San Marcos to hear confessions and to meet with people. But anyhow, going to your point, the first part, when people say vulgarities or talk about things that aren't right, it's we have to try to either just to be quiet, sometimes to show, to say, hey, let's talk about something else. And it helps to individually, because this usually repeats, individually to ask a friend, hey, look, I'd rather you not say this, or please don't say this, or please don't use Jesus' name this way. This offends me, or it, really it offends God, but people sometimes will understand if you say it offends me. So that's one thing. But you were also talking about calumny, and I think a little bit the same applies. We have to tell people, look, I think it's not, this is not fair, or let's talk about something else. And and one thing is, calumny is when there's a lie, when there's something, so we can also try to correct the lie, the mistake. There's also detraction, which is not a lie, but it's telling people's faults to others. And unless there's a good reason, we should, out of charity, out of respect for others, not ruin their reputation. There is no clear-cut way of doing it, but we have to try. It's better usually when we do it individually. Sometimes we have to do it in a conversation with other people. And at the same time, excuse me for saying so many things here, but I mean, it's a good point, your good question. We have to be patient with people, and we have to keep trying and to help them. It's not easy to change bad habits. Maybe we ourselves used to do that. And so it's not easy to change, and we have to be understanding. But I'm glad that you want to do something about it. You want to help your friends. And that's what striving for to be a Christian, to live as a holy life, entails, that we are disciples of Christ, that we help others to do what is right.
Miguel?
Thank you very, yes, I'm still there. Thank you very much, Father. It's I guess just tough to know where the line is when you are in the conversations and they keep engaging in those types of they keep
sure.
saying that kind of stuff, you know. It's tough to know when to cut it off or when to just,
sure.
you know, just be quiet.
Well, I'll add two things, and maybe Cy can chime in. One is, remember to pray for people, and even in the spot, to pray for them. Also, pray about it before the Blessed Sacrament or at home, and ask our Lord, and it depends on the situation, but sometimes God gives us a way of knowing or when to cut it off or when to be more patient. So things are vary and situations vary, and we have to ask our Lord to give us light to help us to know how to act in a given moment.
Okay, Miguel.
Thank you.
God bless
you,
brother.
You're welcome,
Father. Appreciate it.
Doing the arduous work. It is there is something arduous about it in some ways. It's something, I mean, I suppose for those who advance in it, at least from what I've read from them, there's a lightness that comes too. But it is like you said, you used the word fight earlier.
Yes. Yeah, the Christian life requires a struggle, requires fighting. Newman would say, St. John Henry Newman, that to fight is something characteristic of a Christian. And yes, without that effort, and it requires effort to fight against our own weaknesses, the temptations we have, but also to fight, quote unquote, against the things that we encounter in interactions with others and business dealings that are unethical or other practices, and it requires that we have to fight with respect, but we have to fight. I would add that something about what Miguel was saying is, you know, well, not to be discouraged. Jesus calls us to be salt, to be light, and we have to keep trying. And our Lord doesn't leave us, but we have to persevere and ask Him for that help that we need.
Thanks, Miguel, very, very much for the call. One of the things that that strikes me about the entire conversation we've had this hour is both Newman and Jose Escriva, and then you think about these other great saints of our time like Teresa of Avila and Teresa of Calcutta, this emphasis on small things. Why is that? What is this emphasis on small things about?
Right. Well, St. Teresa of Avila would say that God is, you can find God in the kitchen, and that he's there in the kitchen. St. Therese of Lisieux, who was a daughter, a spiritual daughter of St. Teresa, emphasized in the 20th century, I mean the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, she emphasized doing little things out of love for God, reminding us that God sees our intentions, God sees our hearts. And for example, that God has details with us, small things. The day that she was going to make her vows, it started snowing, and she thought it was a sign that God was showing her his love. God shows us his love in small things, in snowflakes, and he also sees the small things that we do. So she emphasized that, St. Therese. She would say that we're like a little toy, and that Jesus plays with us. In fact, he said like a rag doll, and he plays with us. And we want to make Jesus smile. We want to make Jesus happy. And we do that usually with the everyday things. So we don't have to be, if we start looking for the big things, we might not find them. Or they'll be far, far between.
Father Juan Velez has been our guest. Father, thank you very much. I wonder if we might have your blessing before you go.
Sure. It's been a pleasure being with you in Catholic Answers Live. Dear Lord, bless all the listeners. Help us to be your disciples and to strive every day for holiness. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Father. I hope we'll get to do it again.
Thank you,
Si. Very, very much appreciated. Is there a website or something where people can find out about Opus Dei if they want to find out about it?
Sure. www.opusdei. That's O-P-U-S. DEI.org.
www.opusdei.org. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey, coming up next, Gary Zimek. We're going to try to get you ready to have a little peace in your life at Lent. Let go of that anxiety. Trust in Jesus. More of that coming up.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A Few Minutes Each Day Can Change Your Life During Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zimek, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.